symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we're going to be talking with a world champion in many companies. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Kurt, I'm doing great. And man, you said it, we have a big guest on this week, and Rhino, and we're going to bring him on in just a minute. But before we bring Rhino on, what a show we had last week with Alex Perry. It's getting rave reviews on social. The director of your new documentary, Kurt, I have seen nothing but rave reviews for the documentary. And if you haven't seen it yet, what are you waiting for? It's on Peacock. Go out. It's a must watch. Kurt, what have you heard so far, man?
Oh, nothing but good reviews. Everybody's excited about it. I'm definitely excited about it. This is a great documentary, and if you haven't seen it, it's a must-see. It's really good. It tells a great story about a kid from Pittsburgh that overcomes the odds and wins the Olympic gold medal and then goes on to stardom after that and has a few struggles in his life, but he's able to come out on top, and it's a really cool story. I'm really proud of it.
Great story. Very well done. Alex knocked it out of the park. You talk about a directorial debut. I mean, come on.
I know. It was his debut. That's crazy, man.
That's one to hang your hat on.
Into that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that he was so committed, a perfectionist, just like you, Kurt. And it's a very exciting time for you. I mean, I saw it last week. You're on KDK, the local Pittsburgh news station, doing interviews and stuff. So
I wanted to represent my town. I wanted to tell them, hey, watch our documentary, because I'm from Pittsburgh. And it's Team Angle in Pittsburgh.
That's right, buddy. Well, hey, one more thing, and then we'll bring Rhino in. And that is, we've been talking sports the last few weeks. And week one, as the show drops, the Sunday to the mass audience, it'll be the week one Sunday kickoff of the NFL season. I thought we'll have some fun this year. We're not going to go crazy and pick a bunch of games, but I want one angle lock to win and one angle upset. So, Kurt, week one, who is your lock to win in week one?
Well, it's pretty easy. I'm picking the Buffalo Bills to go over to New York Jets.
Whoa! With Aaron Rodgers? Jets have Rodgers.
Listen, the Jets have had a horrible history in the last 10 years. I don't expect them to pull out of that. I really believe that. I know the only thing they were missing was a quarterback, but it's going to take a little bit of time to get that continuity flowing with Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the team.
Wow, you are coming in hot week one. Listen, I just started watching. They are, but I just started watching Hard Knocks, and again, just started watching. I know a lot of folks maybe listening have already watched it, but man, it's a lot of fun to see the energy in the New York Jets building and what they've been.
Oh, I can't imagine. They have to be so excited to have Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
All right, so there's your lock to win. Who's the upset? Who are you picking to upset in week one?
The Steelers over the 49ers.
Don't jinx our Steelers. All right, there it is.
Yeah, the Steelers, I know, are the underdogs because the 49ers is one of the best teams in the NFL right now.
Steelers are playing at home. And again, yes, underdog to the San Francisco 49ers. They're coming in hot, one of the NFC's favorites, and people still aren't sure what to expect with Pittsburgh. So, hey, listen, lots of fun. We're going to do this, like I said, every week for the season. We'll keep it brief. But, Kurt, you and I cannot believe that you picked against the Jets. Let's see. Let's see what happens. We're going to have fun.
I picked against Aaron Rodgers, and I always will.
With that said, it's time to get to business this week, Kurt. And as you mentioned at the top, we have a guest who was a major part of your run in the WWF in 2001. 22 years ago, Kurt, welcome to the show, Spider Rhino.
Spider Rhino.
Rhino, I didn't know if you guys could see that. You thought you were getting Rhino.
You got the man beast Rhino.
Right. Now you got Rhino. So, but anyways, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Good. I'm glad you're on, Rhino.
I noticed that shirt. Where can I get one?
Oh, we'll get you one. You know what? Email me, I'll email you after this and we'll get you one shipped. We'll confirm sizes. And yes, we'd love you to support.
Only $100.
Yeah. For you, $100, normally $150, but you know, I'm kidding. Hey, for those listening, by the way, only and didn't see the visual, Rhino had a Spider-Man mask on when he came in. Yeah. So just to explain that to those that are only listening to the show, not watching, there it is for those at home. But man, how are you? How you been?
Great. I feel great. You know, and just busy as always. So, and you just with the Marina and wrestling and with Impact Wrestling. So, doing indies too, signings. And yeah.
I don't know how many times I texted you to get a right date for you. You're a busy man, man. I mean, we were trying like last week and next week and this week. Yeah. And it was just crazy.
Well, we're supposed to do this back in February, but Kurt kind of ghosted me.
I kind of forgot about you.
What an asshole.
I thought I was asking him out on a date or something, or I thought I was dating him. Usually that's how it goes. I date someone in the game.
Right. Right. Well, hey, man. Yeah. Oh, no, you go ahead. Catch us up on your busy schedule. I know you said you had a lot going on.
Well, just with the Marina, Big Daddy's Boatyard. So just we're getting ready for the winter season. So that's always fun getting everything out and ready for the winter. And then with wrestling, it just seems like it always picks up this time of the year. And so, yeah, just doing that. And with Impact, I'm producing now. So it's like more of a workload, but the same pay. So
well, how can you say Big Daddy's Boatyard with a straight face?
You know what? I almost named it Sugar Bear Boatyard.
Nice.
Hey, if I buy another one, I might name that one Sugar Bear Boatyard. I mean, it's a fun
rhino.
Right. You know, and that's how I got the name. Because, you know, Kurt, you know, we like to laugh and joke around, and that's just our personalities. And I was sitting across the street from a boatyard that I kept a boat at, one of my boats at, and it's Gibraltar Boatyard. So I'm like, if I ever owned a marina, what would I name it? And that just popped into my head. And a couple of years after that, I bought my marina and named it Big Daddy's Boatyard. So it's boating's supposed to be fun. You know, we all know what it's like, to, especially being from Pittsburgh, you know, that rust belt, you know, you're the daily grind, and, you know, you have certain things that you enjoy. So boating is one of them for a lot of people. And when you go down there to get on that boat and go boating, or just sit on there and have a drink, or just even if you tinker around on your boat, you leave all your problems, you leave your work, everything at the gate, and then you go and enjoy your boat, and that's it. So that's why we like to have it a fun atmosphere, and, you know, a fun name, and, you know, so.
Sounds like a porn star name.
Big Daddy's. Kurt, if that's the case, you and I need to take a trip up to Rhino's house and hang out at Big Daddy's Boatyard, pal.
Right. Or Sugar Bears.
Yeah, boy. There you go. I was going to ask how you got into the whole boating business, you know?
I didn't mean to cut you off, but my dad got into boating right after high school in 59, and he always had a wooden boat, and that's how we spent our springs working on the boat, enjoying them in the summertime, and, you know, putting them away in the fall, because there's a lot of work to do, especially on wooden boats. So that's how we got into boating. We never went on vacation or anything. That was like our vacation. So my brothers were all into boating. So it just started off as a family thing.
So listen, Rhino, we're coming up on the anniversary of your guys' match, you and Kurt, against each other from Houston, Texas, SmackDown 9/11, 22 years ago. We're going to watch it later on. It's not very long. But, man, you first got your start around the same time that Kurt did on the national level, you with ECW, Kurt with the WWF. Can you talk about your experience and what that was like early on in ECW for us?
You know, obviously Kirk can testify to this. ECW was a bit crazy. You never knew what was going to happen. You could try and have an idea, but you really never knew how things were going to unfold. It was crazy times, but crazy in a good way and exciting.
You guys made some noise. Yeah.
What's that?
You guys made some noise.
Right. And I remember when Kurt, you know, they started, Kurt hit the scene and everything, And then how, you know, the, you won the, what was it? The IC title first?
No, the European title.
European. And then didn't you win the IC right after that?
Yes, I was Eurocontinental champion for a while.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, both titles. And then, you know, and it's like I'm watching their stuff and because I'm friends with Edge and Christian and they're really putting Kurt over and how he's a great guy and all that stuff. So it was kind of, it was fun, you know, at that time, you know, especially in society too and what we could get away with in wrestling. So, but yeah.
Well, I heard a rumor that you were actually the one that put ECW out of business.
That's what you're probably talking to Tommy Dreamer.
It was Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. It was
actually you. You were pranking yourself. You actually said that to me. You said, I'm the person that put ECW out of business.
Right, right. Yeah, I always say I'm a company killer. And then I went to Impact the first time. And then they got a network deal. So I'm like, oh, this isn't working in my favor. I'm a company killer, you know. And then I left there. And then I went to Ring of Honor. And then they were bought out by Sinclair. So I'm like, man, it's really not working out for me, this company killer thing.
The negativity's not happening. Everything positive is going on, right?
Right, right. Tommy Dreamer would always say that. And I told him, and I would talk to Carino. And I'm like, well, see, you put the title on Carino. That's what really killed the company. You put the title on me, it was too far gone. I couldn't save it. So,
now, very quickly, you were positioned in a big way, working against the likes of Tommy Dreamer, Raven, and Sandman. Why do you think Paul Heyman did that to you?
He just seen something in me. You know, I mean, Paul Heyman, he's got a great mind for wrestling. And Jim Cornette, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. Paul, when he hired me, it was a Detroit show. I went and worked out in Grand Rapids, Lansing the next day. There were no workouts. Then Detroit, there was workouts, and I was the only one there to work out with someone else. So anyways, he goes, wait until after the show. I want to talk to you. So after the show, they did all their pre-tapes, and then he talked to me. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, did you ever try going to WWF or WCW? And I said, Jim Cornette got me a dark match. He really likes my work and nothing came of it. And then just keep in touch. And Paul looked off to the side and he goes, huh, we agree on something. And then he spaced out. And then he, you know, joined back in the conversation we were having. He's like, you're hired, this and that. And then I asked Pee-wee, the referee, I go, what did he mean by that? It was just so odd. It stuck out. And he goes, oh, him and Cornette, they hate each other. And I never knew that. So, you know.
We agree on one thing.
Right, right. It was the oddest thing because he just stopped. He goes, huh, we agree on something. And then he looked right back at me. And I'm like, that was odd, you know? And but I think they have a mutual respect as far as the love and passion for business. They just have a different look on it and, you know, how it should be presented. But no, it was so funny how he said that. And out of the whole conversation, I remember, do you want a job? And that, and anything other than that, I don't remember too much. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. So,
well, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, listen, your rise in the network with Cyrus, who we now know everyone as Don Callis, would lead you to become the TV champion after defeating Tajiri. Do you wish, looking back, you could have gotten that title from Rob Van Dam, the longtime television champion?
You know, we were working, and that's how he broke his foot. We're in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he did a baseball slide. And he broke his foot. And, you know, Rob, he's like, oh, I'm all right. You know, and a lot of us back then, it's like you're working through injury and all that stuff. And you're like, I'm all right. I can go. And Bill Alfonso, I'll never forget it because we're on like a stage. It's a theater setting and it's like a 3,500 seat place and it's packed. So he does a baseball slide and he, you know, does something. And I see him hobbling. And then all of a sudden, Fonzie just runs up to me. He goes, Rob's foot's hurt, Daddy. Throw me in the crowd. I'm like, what? He goes, Rob's foot's hurt. Throw me in the crowd, Daddy. So I just grab him and I launch him in the crowd and they start body surfing him, you know, just so Rob could get his bearings and everything. So we finish the match and he gets to the back and He does all of his flips and stuff. I mean, just to land on that, I couldn't imagine the pain. But he had broken a bone in his foot, right? So he's like, oh, I'm all right, I'm all right. He takes his shoe off, and the thing just blows up.
Blows up.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know if you're okay. So he had to have surgery, so that's why he, like, relinquished the title in the tournament. In a way, it would have been nice to beat Rob, but then again, I was still on that ascent in ECW and in my career where it would have been better to, you know, wrestle him after I got momentum and all that stuff.
A
and
bigger match. Yeah.
Right, right. It would have been a bigger match down the road. And then, you know, so, and that's what Paul was shooting for, is Rob and I, you know, but the company closed down because I killed it. So, according to them.
So. Hey, Rhino, did you see the issues in ECW during 2000?
Yes and no. You know, what was crazy is, and I give a lot of credit to Pee Wee and Sabu for my career, because they, you know, after coming from Germany, you don't learn a lot about the ins and outs of wrestling, you know, when you're on the road all the time, because you're there working every night, you know, you kind of get the ins and outs there in that territory. But when I was over here, so Pee Wee was saying, once we got that deal with TNN, he goes, everybody's thinking this is the Holy Grail and everything's going to, all of our dreams are going to come true all at once. He goes, it'll take 1 year before we really start seeing the TV really turn into dollars, you know. So it'll take about a good year until we start seeing it in attendance and ratings and all that stuff. And sure as shit, he was right. But unfortunately, after that first year, TNA had already moved on to WWE. You know, so, and when we were, I mean, you could see the crowds growing back, you know, and getting bigger than what they had been. So you were thinking, okay, this isn't going to end, you know, we're getting better. And then we're hearing stuff about the network. We're like, we'll surely be picked up with someone else, you know, and then we didn't. Mm. So towards, I'd say the last month and a half, 2 months, when we weren't hearing a TV deal coming through, that's when I kind of figured, you know, the writing was on the wall. And then you didn't see any dates, you know, after July or January 13th.
Nothing planned after that, huh?
No, nothing. And Paul said, hey, we're going to take a little break. And usually when that happens, you know, so Bruce had already called me, and we kind of, you know, after I told him, you know, wait until after, you know, there's nothing there, you know, so.
You're saying Bruce from WWE, right?
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard, you know, and him and Paul were good friends. And I told him, I'm not going to take off until, you know, it's final that, you know, they're not coming back. So.
But before the doors close, though, Rhino, and I want to make sure we highlight this on the show, you do become the last ECW champion, act guilty as charged. You defeat the Sandman. Yep. I mean, how big of a part of that, you know, when you think about your legacy, do you think, man, that was a pretty big deal to be the last ECW champion?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people forget I was a TV champion too. So I was the only one to unify both titles. And coming from a promotion like, you know, what Kurt was saying, working with guys like Dreamer and Sandman and Rob and Raven and all these guys, and Mikey Whipwreck,
Spike, all these guys were there.
Taz, yeah. And I'll tell you a quick story about Taz. The first time I wrestled him, he cuts a promo. He's like, I'm going to make you bleed. And he didn't. Yeah. Well, here's the deal, right? I don't want to get too ins and I'm still old school kayfabe, but he throws me into the guardrail, right? And head first, and I drop something. So I'll just leave it at that. So I'm like, oh man. And then all of a sudden, you know, and the match was so good. And I made Taz, you know, and Taz can make himself look good anyways, but we meshed really well together. And Paul, I came through the back, and Paul goes, hey, none of that matters. The match was great. And we really complimented each other in the ring, Taz and I. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that he went to, you know, we didn't get a chance to work a bigger angle. You know, not unfortunate that he went to WWE, but it's unfortunate that we didn't work a bigger program. So
absolutely.
Well, how did it come to be that you would sign with the WWF, and were you worried about your spot in the business with WCW and ECW closing?
Not really, you know, because they were doing that thing. Paul had come there and You know, I was always, he was kind of like a mentor too. I had Edge and Christian. I went to them with a lot of questions. I was just going to work, you know, and that's what I did in Germany. And they always used me. They seen the potential there and they used me. And then I went to ECW and Paul seen the potential and they used me there. And I always fit in any locker room I was in. And then when I went to WWE, WWF back then, I just fit, you know, and I had Edge and Christian there. They were like, Christian came up to me one time. This is after I started. He goes, you know, and I had signed, and Austin and Triple H, they were talking in the cafeteria. They go, oh, I heard we just signed that Rhino guy from ECW. Hopefully he's not a, you know, a jerk or, a, you know, whatever. And Christian, what's that?
An a-hole.
Right. I'm trying to keep it.
We can cuss on this podcast. You're fine.
Okay. So basically, Christian said, hey, listen, no, he's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy and he'll fit in well. Because, you know, Kurt, I mean, someone comes into that locker room and they've got the wrong attitude. You know, they're not going to be around.
Yes.
Yeah. So they said, no, he's great. So I had that too, you know, and it was a little adjustment. And then once I got to WWE, I noticed, you know, working every night with guys, you know, that were so fine tuned. A lot of guys in ECW were fine tuned, but it's just like, I felt, you know, I got even better, you know, and then I never really worried about my spot. Cause if I went there, I showed up and I worked hard, I knew, I would have a good position. So.
Well, Rhino, as I don't know if you can tell in the background, I'm a little bit of a belt nerd, have a few on my shelf. So I need to find out whatever happened to that actual ECW world title. You were the last one to hold it.
Yeah. Conrad has it.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing. I'm not one to, you know, and I'm bad at this because I'm proud of everything I've done in wrestling and I'm proud of what I'm doing in wrestling. And I know that window of opportunity closes of being in the ring and all that stuff. I never display anything. I have my original like singlets. I have a lot of my singlets. It sat in my cellar for, probably 15 years. And then Conrad reached out to me through someone I knew we talked and he displays them and it would be a good home for it, you know? And I just never, I take it out every once in a while, kind of like Kurt with you in the metal, you know, like you show, you know, family or friend, or, you know, and that's, you know, and very rarely, and, you know, it's set and, you know, and I'm not talking about a cellar that's dark and dingy and, you know, I just never displayed it in a way it should be displayed because something like that so many people have worked hard for and sacrificed for.
So. Was there ever any idea or creative around, hey, just bring it with you to the WWF, wear it? Or was that ever given a thought?
It's funny because if you go back to in 2006, when WWE was going to relaunch ECW, they had called me and I re-signed with Impact. And the reason why I re-signed with Impact is because when I got canned from WWE, I was going through a hard time in my life. And I don't mind elaborating on that if you guys want to.
Sure.
As soon as I got canned. So then Dixie Carter gave me an opportunity. And the money wasn't that great, but she gave me an opportunity. And I went there. And then after a year, you know, they're like, it was only a 1-year deal because they signed me when they didn't have a network and they were in talks with Spike at the time. It's funny because a lot of my career was with Spike from ECW all the way in 99, all the way until 2010. So whenever they switched to WWF, I went to WWF within 4 or 5 months. Then they got WWF went back to USA Network within 3 months. I was back on, I was with Impact and they were on Spike.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Nobody ever talks about that, right? And I was with Impact all the way until 2011. So January. So the first time. So anyways, so fast forward to 2006, Dick's, we worked out a deal for 3 years with Impact. And the reason why I didn't go back to WWE or WWF, well, it was WWE, is because I feel like here's someone, when I had a low point in my life, gave me an opportunity. And after a year, you know, I would take off for more money or, you know, maybe a better opportunity. So your loyalty, I was kind of like, you know, that's kind of a crappy thing to do, you know? So even though it's just business and they would understand no harm, no foul as a person. And in a way it was better that I stayed there. You know, I believe in God and everything. And I think God works in mysterious ways. I don't think I would have been ready for that opportunity at that time. Now, fast forward to 2015, I was ready for NXT and WWE and tagging with Heath and all that. So,
well, Rhino, what was the difference between WWE compared to ECW?
Or should I say the paychecks.
The paychecks. and they cleared. Yeah.
Right. Right. You know, I never had a paycheck that bounced.
Okay, so you never fell into that issue. Okay,
there were a lot of paychecks.
Not even with ECW.
What's that?
Not even with ECW.
Not even. Well, yeah, with ECW. I actually, my whole wrestling career, I've never had a check that bounced.
Good for you. Except
once, Tony Candelo up in Winnipeg. But when we went back up there, when we went back up there after that. He gave us the cash, so he made good on it. But all throughout my wrestling, I never had a check that bounced. So with ECW, there were some checks missing. You know, it's like, hey, I'll catch you next time. And it's like, all right, so. But
whatever that means, right? But otherwise, the creative, because, right, wasn't, and Paul was already starting to work a little bit. ECW was getting a little woven into some WWE product here and there.
You know, they had a good working relationship, and I guess Vince would help, you know, send some money his way and stuff. And it was a good feeder system because they didn't have an NXT. But the difference between ECW, obviously, and WWE, you know, the business part, you know, WWE is just such a giant, you know, and ECW was like a mom and pops organization, you know, kind of, you know, with a chip on its shoulder and, you know, one of those, oh crap, what's, you know, if it was dark and dingy, even better, you know, and WWE was always, you know, the production level, you know,
you can never, it was a little more graphic though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it didn't get raunchy, you know, there. And that's one thing I've learned, you know, you can have wrestling, hardcore, extreme, pushing the envelope, but as long as you don't go raunchy, you know, it never went raunchy. Like you'd say, oh yeah, you know, the crowd would chant, show your, you know, and this and that. And, you know, the girl would be like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then the heel will get in there. No, no, no.
Right.
I'm the only one going to show
mine. Rhino's straps come down. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, Carino would do that all the time with Francine, you know, and Francine's like, you know, I was going to show you, but because of this jerk, you know, I'm no longer in the mood. And they would just, you know, I mean, they would lay into, I won't say what they would call Carino.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they would lay into Steve and stuff like that. It's just, and I think the audience respected it more, you know, because it's like, yeah. And it's like, it was taken away by the heel. And then it's like, I hate that guy even more, you know? And then when they leave, they're like, okay, I really don't hate him, but you know, it was fun. You know, they got caught up emotionally. So, and that's what I try to explain to people. And cause I run a promotion in Detroit and well, south of Detroit in Monroe, it's called IWR. So we'll get to that later, but when I'm plugging, that's a cheap plug right there. But I always try to tell the guys when I'm promoting a show, I noticed my ticket sales go up when there's a story involved, when there's a character involved, when it's more emotionally, people are more emotionally invested. And I've noticed pre-sales go up. So, you know, when, and I always tell everybody, try run a promotion because you got to deal with dollars, cents, you know, you got to figure out booking, you got to figure out a lot of these things and travel and all that. So then when you're working for someone, you have a newfound respect for the things they go through, you know.
Kurt, what do you think? You want to try to run a promotion at some point in your life? That interest? He's like, screw F that. He is not.
Any more stress in my life.
Let's talk about Edge and Christian. You mentioned him, and you were quickly put. That's right. You're quickly put with him. And, you know, they had an association with Kurt. Give us the real scoop. What did they tell you about Kurt when you first came in?
They just spoke nothing but good things about Kurt. But it's funny. This was right around this time in 2001, Kurt's book came out, and it was maybe summertime. He got a copy of it before it was released. And then Edge and Christian, they're all going, cause we're all in the car together, and they were asking what pages they're on. And so anyways, there it is. The book.
It's true. It's true. Kurt, you've done it all now. Documentaries, books. What haven't you done?
Right. So they're asking him, you know, and he's like, oh, you're here, you're there, and this and that. And I asked Kurt, I go, Kurt, what page am I on? He's like, you're not in there. I go, what do you mean I'm not in there? He goes, well, I didn't really know you when I was writing it. I go, we broke bread together at the Ram's Horn. How did you not put that in there?
That's the first time I met you.
right. And so I go, I know what you want. You want me to read the whole thing to find out where I'm at. He's like, you're not in there. And I'm like, okay, Kurt, you know, the joke's up. You know, you got me. What page? I'm going to read the whole book. You know, so, but anyways, I still haven't found what page I'm on. So let me know what page I'm on.
Yeah.
But it was fun, you know, just with Edge and Christian and Kurt and, you know, and they got along great too. So.
Yeah.
It looks like SmackDown. Okay. Good, Paul.
I was going to say, it looks like you're on page 316.
There it is.
There's no page 316.
The book ends at 315, but yeah, it looks like you. All good.
All right, I'll read the whole thing again. It must have gotten the misprint where they missed the page that I'm on.
Right.
Well, Rhino, our first match together was on SmackDown, where we teamed up to defeat Edge and Christian, ironically. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. So it. We wrestled with Edge and Christian.
Yeah, you and I tag team against Edge and Christian.
You got defeated, Edge and Christian
on SmackDown.
Okay,
near the beginning of your WWE career, WWF career. Yes,
right.
What match do you?
What's that?
You don't remember the match, do you?
I do not remember the match. Sometimes I'll see clips, and I'm great. I mean, I'll remember buildings. I'll remember this. I'll remember that. I'll remember a conversation we had. Like the one at Ram's Horn where it should have been in the book, but it's not. But certain matches I'll see that and I'm like, oh, that was cool. You know, oh, I forgot about that match, but you know, remember when I watch it, I'll remember it, you know.
And that's okay. Listen, we're talking 20 some years ago. So yeah. I totally get it. How many matches have you guys wrestled since then? And you know, Kurt and I, we end up showing a lot of clips just to kind of relive some of it. We are going to watch your two's match together here tonight. But the first time you two are against each other is on a SmackDown from Boston right before Invasion. And Kurt, you team with Steve Austin to take on Rhino and Booker T. And it just turned into an all out brawl. But man, listen, this is a huge match for this time period. What ran through your head, Rhino, being such a major part of the Invasion angle?
You know, I was just listening to a lot of those guys that were there, you know, and just learning. You know, and even with Kurt, because Kurt, I mean, he was there a couple of years at that point and on top. And I remember the first pay-per-view I was brought to, it was February of 2001. You were working with The Rock in the main event out in Vegas. And I believe it was February. And just watching that match and just, you know, I didn't do anything that night, but I was still doing dark matches. But I would listen to a lot of the guys, and I would listen to guys like Pat Patterson. He would help me out. You know, Jim Ross, all those guys were really good, you know. And then if I had any questions, I'd go to Edge and Christian, and they would kind of fine tune anything, or if I had any concerns. So, but, you know, just when you're thrown in a mix with guys like that, if you don't learn and you don't become better, then there's something wrong with you. So, but I'll tell you a quick story. I've never talked about this publicly. The first time I worked with The Rock, it was right around the summertime. He had just gotten done with that movie, Mummy Returns, okay, where he was the Scorpion King. Not the one where it's him throughout the whole movie, but it was just the Scorpion King in the Mummy Returns. Yeah. So he was supposed to wrestle with Booker, but Booker had fluid in his knee and he had to have it drained. So they go, Rhino, you're going to work with Rock. And this is his first match back. It was a live event. So my cardio is great, my ring cardio. And we're up blast, and we probably went about, the match was probably about 10 to 12, but Rock was sucking some wind because cardio, but ring conditioning, you know. I mean, it only took him a couple weeks because we worked a couple times throughout that month, and you know, his cardio, you know, his ring cardio was back. But I'll never forget, I was just talking to him before the match, and he had the nicest Rolex. I mean, diamonds. I mean, it must have been a present to him after doing the movie. And I wanted to compliment him. But me being the new guy, I was only there for like 5 months. The thing would go missing, you know. And then they would look at me like, hey, that Rhino guy was eyeing it up. He said it's a real nice watch, yada, yada, yada. Next thing you know, fingers are pointing at me. So I did. And I mean, this thing was beautiful. Like, I mean, it's like that nice Cadillac driving down the road where you're just staring at, you know, or a nice looking female with a nice set of headlights. You're just staring at him.
He's back on his boat. Here we go.
Right. So, but anyways, you know, and I never said anything to him about it. I didn't even compliment him because I was worried that thing would go missing, you know.
That's called paranoia, right?
Right. Well, when you're that far in, you know, or that early in, but no, just working with guys like that, and then they see how good you are in the ring, and then, you know, where it's, you know, it's like a night off, not like you're going to the, you know, gallows and just being beaten and stuff, you know, on the way there, but not Luke Gallows, so. So I don't want to say I'm light because everybody's like, wow, you look pretty mean in there. So, but anyway, but Kurt, we've had some really good matches with Kurt. His hair was so short. This was in Fort Lauderdale. The first time I did this, he'd fight out of the hold and I couldn't grab his hair, right? Before you shaved your head. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grab his straps and pull him down. And then I, you know, because I was a heel, and then I did the whole Kurt Angle, you know, bouncing on your one leg, woo, you know.
Yes.
And it was terrible, you know, which made it even better. And boy, did the crowd just really shit on me, you know, for doing that. So, but I actually worked with Booker in Impact. This was overseas in London. And this match was so incredible. It just, you know, as far as the fans, there was something that just aligned. And I always tell everybody, if you're on the fence about going to a show, go. Because if you don't go, you're going to miss something special. So we had this match and we did back-to-back nights. I don't think you were there, Kurt, but I went to him. He worked with Samoa Joe the first night. And I said, hey, listen, Book, can I do the spin-a-rooney? And he's kind of like, ah, but he trusted me enough. This was in like 2010. So the crowd was back and forth and he was a heel. Actually, you were there, Kurt, because you were doing the mega, what was that? Yeah. So anyways, he's getting on me. He goes, shoot me off. I go under, I pull him in for a spine buster. I go, give me the floor, Book. And then Earl Hebner was our referee. I did the worst spin-a-rooney in the history of spin-a-roonies. But the place came up for it because the first night he went to give it to him, but he said, nope, did one of those. And then actually he did it the same thing that night. And that's after that, I hit him with the spine buster. And then I just did that, the worst spin-a-rooney, but I made a complete rotation. So that was the main thing. And
you really did it.
Yeah, the place went crazy. I think I ended up on my head somehow. So yeah, it was not in a pretty way, but yeah, so, like a kid trying to break dance. That was what it looked like, you know.
Well, Rhino, we would face off in the main event of the Invasion pay-per-view, Team WWF versus the Alliance. What did you think of combining ECW with WCW?
You know, I didn't understand. Well, at first, you know why they did that is because they didn't have enough stars.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of those big names were still under contract with Turner Broadcast. So they're not going to say, no, I don't want $1.2 million. I'm going to go work for Vince with a downside of, you know, a few hundred thousand and maybe I'll make that, you know? So they just sat at home and collected it. So they didn't have enough star power to look like a threat to either ECW or WCW. I forget who told me that. I think it might've been Paul. But that's why they combined the two, you know? So, and someone just recently.
I do remember at the beginning, there weren't a lot of stars. You're right, though. But eventually there got to be too many stars.
Oh yeah.
Like when WWE and WCW and ECW, when everybody came there, it was like, oh God, like we're going to have to split the brands. This is when the brand started happening. And I understand why, because there were so many stars. Mm-hmm. You couldn't fit everybody on one show.
Right. No, but that's kind of like what I've learned just studying wrestling and study different territories and WWE and WWF. And they used to have a crew, a B crew, and even a C crew. So I think, you know, that was another benefit of splitting the brands. You can run more shows, you know, instead of an A and a B and an A and a B town and all that stuff. So, you know, and it puts more people to work, men and women. So, which is good too. So,
right.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are here. We're at the part of the show where we're going to watch the two of you. It was 9/13 of 2001 in Houston, 2 days after 9/11. Unbelievable. Where it's around the 22-year anniversary of that. So if those who want to watch it with us, you can fire up Peacock. It is SmackDown Season 3, Episode 37. Give you a second to do that. But if you're following us here on YouTube, we're going to show that as well, a little bit of a filter, but we're going to watch that match together. I said it's not longer than 6 minutes. I can't wait to hear some of your guys' thoughts about that night. Because again, very emotional time for our country, and you two are headlining the show. So with that, we're going to go ahead and launch it and take a look. We'll listen to a little commentary at first, and then I'll mute it. And then you two, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Champion. In the ring with Rhino.
Kurt Angle certainly abused on Monday night by Stone Cold Steve Austin, falling to the floor from the stage.
So, guys, you hear Heyman and Ross on the call. The crowd, if you could tell right away, it was so much into this match. Yeah. But I just want you two to conversate a little bit about what this was like 2 days after kind of what had gone on in our country.
You know what? Rhino, you go first.
You know what? I don't remember hearing who I was going to wrestle or what I was going to do until I got to the building. I don't know about you, Kurt, if someone buzzed you, but I thought about it.
I told you somebody did.
What's that?
What if I told you somebody did tell me earlier?
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. At least, you know, do you know why they put you and I in there together, or they just
told
you?
They want me to beat the shit out of you. No. We had the Alliance thing going, and I was Mr. USA, and they wanted a top heel from ECW, WCW, and they picked you. You were one of the top guys, Ronald. Don't forget, you were the ECW champion, the last champion. So when you came in, the tag match we had, where it was me and, I believe, Austin versus you and Booker.
Yeah.
You went right. You came straight in on top, right? Oh, so they had a lot of respect for you.
Right. Well, actually, you know, when we were having that meeting before, Austin was like, I'll start with Rhino. Yeah. that pay-per-view. Now I remember the tag match we had, because that was leading into King of the Ring.
Yes, yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see, it takes a little bit to spark the memory on certain things. But, yeah, see, I remember with this match, I remember they offered refunds, and only 40 people asked for a refund, and they resold those tickets like that. You're but
right.
I remember the whole thing after I remember they extended an offer if George H.W. Bush wanted to come down and say something, President 41, Bush 41, you know, but obviously you don't know and all that stuff. And I remember they asked if, because this was the first live event after 9/11.
That's correct. And
it is the very first sporting event after 9/11.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
Live event with an audience. And it was we went live on that Thursday, 2 days after. I remember waking up that day and you know, it was about 8:30, and you know, gonna get up and go work out, call Edge or Christian. Or no, I was traveling with Edge that loop. And then I turned on the TV. I thought it was just something, you know, something that was local. And then you're watching it. Both planes had hit by that time. And then we got message that everybody just wait there. We're trying to figure it out if we're going to go live or if we're going to show a rerun or what. I'm glad we went live because the people really needed it, you know.
You know what, Rhino? When I saw that the first time, I didn't believe it. I was in shock. I was like, oh, that.
Yeah,
it's really trick photography. That didn't happen. And right. After three or four times, I kept replaying it. I'm like, holy shit, this really happened.
Yeah.
Those buildings just crumbled. I mean, it was the worst tragedy in the history of the USA.
Right, right. It's the largest attack on the country. Pearl Harbor,
And Kurt, the one plane went down not too far from where you live in Somerset,
yes,
right?
Yes, in Somerset, PA. Yeah, that would they were going down to the White House. That's where
right.
That plane was headed. Yeah,
yeah. Just an incredible. I think everyone. I remember exactly where I was that day too. It's just one of those occurrences, or it just things that happen that you just don't forget exactly the moment when your eyes were fixed on the television screen and kind of soaked in what was going on.
Oh, I was glued to the TV for the next 5 hours. I just couldn't believe it.
Can I point out something real quick in the match?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Those punches are very stiff, by the way. And what you appeared, people are like, oh, my God, did Kurt just kick out of the gore? Nobody's ever kicked out of the gore.
Two.
People he just like, pinned you. I did, Rhino, I did.
Well, no, that was the spear.
Oh.
See? You kicked out of the spear. So there's a big
with the right shoulder, or is it the left?
What's the difference between the gore and the spear?
The spear they kick out of, the gore they never kick out.
Okay. All right. We've established that.
It's funny because we worked a lot together that year. And then you actually beat me for the U.S. title, didn't you?
Yes. Ironically, that's what Paul's going to ask you.
Right yeah, now. That's yeah. Your last match on WWF TV was when Kurt defeated you for the U.S. title, and so there you go.
Yeah, I believe I was wearing a.
I defeated you. I didn't lose.
He wants me to keep saying that he defeated you. Defeated this is Kurt. This is yeah.
Trust me. I was going to say something, but I got to watch my tongue. It's like every relationship I'm in, I feel defeated.
Yeah, Kurt, why don't you pour it on, poor guy? I mean, what are we doing here? Oh,
yeah. So I text Kurt. I'm like, hey, I'll be a few minutes late. I'm, you know, I told him I'd be on at a certain time, but I'll be a few minutes late. And I'm almost in my safe house in Ohio, and this is my girlfriend's house. So Kurt knows I can never afford anything this nice.
Nice. So looks like a nice.
I was like, what the hell is he saying? A safe house.
Right. Right. That's why I said I got to watch what I say. So, you know, about being defeated.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, yeah. So I believe that match. I don't know if you remember that. I was telling you, I felt like weak in my tricep.
Yeah, remember? You did tell me it was because of your neck, right?
Right, because shortly after that, I had to have a cervical fusion. Yeah.
That's a shame, Rhino. That took you right out of the mix, too, man.
Yeah, and I was, I believe I was wearing my outfit with the maroon. Not the maroon where I started with, but it's a different type of maroon, but very similar. So in that match you and I had, so
were you beating? Thanks for letting us know that.
Yeah. See, I'll tell you, I remember weird stuff, but yeah.
Well, we wouldn't wrestle again until we were both in TNA in 2006. It's crazy. We went 5 years between matches with each other. Isn't that crazy? I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
We didn't miss for 5 years after that.
But now that you think about it, I mean, you know, you blink and 5 years goes by. You know, but yeah,
you're right about that. You have another point. Yeah,
didn't we have a match where it went throughout the whole show, like an hour? You, myself, and TNA. Yeah, I think it was
a three-way, a triple threat.
Yeah, it went the whole show.
Yes, we did. We went the whole entire hour.
Yeah, it was.
And that's when TNA was doing just 1 hour shows.
Yeah. And that was a great match. I just watched that.
It was. But I'll tell you this, Christian's really good at that stuff.
Oh, he is great. He
structures those matches incredibly well.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Incredible ideas.
He's you know what? He's great in the ring. He's a great person, him and Edge, and I couldn't have been, you know, aligned with two better guys starting out early in my career, even buddy of mine, Joe Legend. Anyways, good friends. But Christian is, I like him as a baby face, and he's good as a baby face, but he is a great heel.
Oh, he's the best. Oh,
yeah.
Annoying as hell.
Yeah, you want to hate him. Yeah.
Serious
heat, yes.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, it's just the stuff where he'll wear, like, a turtleneck and stuff. Just look. You know, I mean, and he's got such a great mind for wrestling, too.
He does. And
he puts in the time, and it really shows. You know, and same thing with Edge, but yeah.
So. No, listen, I think Christian's going to be, like, an amazing producer down the road.
Even if it's not producing creative something, I mean, it's just if he one day he just says, hey, I'm retiring, I'm done with wrestling. I mean, the wrestling business is really going to suffer, you know, if he just walks away from it, because he's got so he can help develop new talent and, you know, just creative. And yeah, so he's hopefully he doesn't just say, hey, I'm done, I'm going to go and, you know, live my life out. So.
We, Kurt, we got to have him back on again. There's one thing that I want to go over before we let you go, but there's so much meat on the bone left to cover, especially.
We do, Ryan. We have a whole book here.
Yeah. So, but we're going to, and listen, next time though, Kurt, he texts you, and I know you're talking to someone there, but next time he texts you, don't give him the cold shoulder. We've learned that he just suffers a lot of defeats in his life. So will you please respond to his text?
I've never ignored Rhino. The problem is he hasn't texted me in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
I actually didn't even know his new number. I didn't know he changed his phone number.
You know what's funny is because, the old phone number, everybody's like, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of you, trying to get a hold of you. I got a new number. I text it. Oh, no, that, you know, and so anyways, so thank God my old number, the wrestling fan doesn't have it because they'd have everybody's number. Oh, you know, guess who texted me today? Kurt Angle.
Before we let you go, though, you also dabbled in politics as well. Mm-hmm. And Kurt even did, we got to show this, an endorsement video for you. And we're going to cue that up and play that right now. A lot of our audience probably hasn't seen this, so let's check it out.
How you doing, sir?
How's it going?
Good. My name is Kurt Angle. I'm an Olympic gold medalist. I'm going house to house here in Dearborn, Michigan, campaigning for Terrence Guido Guerin. You may know him as Rhino. He's running for state representative. Can we count on your vote November 8th?
I'm actually undecided.
Undecided? That's really disappointing.
Don't let this
vote for Rhino, vote for Rhino, vote for Rhino
happen
vote
to you. On November 8th,
Dearborn, make sure you vote for me, Terrence Guido Guerin, for your next state representative. Why? Because I'm the most experienced and the most qualified man for the job. It's true. It's damn true.
For more information on how you can help and donate, please go to voteforrhino.com.
Oh my God.
Oh, there's Giovanna. Oh my God.
I'm Terrence Guido Guerin, and I approve this message.
That got a lot of traction. And you know, the great thing about it is I call Kurt and I go, hey, Kurt, can you help me out? He goes, yeah, sure. I go, hey, can you do a campaign? And that was a fun campaign commercial. And Kurt was a champ. He's like, yeah, sure. We'll go ahead. Do you know that was Victor Trevalante, Vic Joseph's voice?
Announcer. Way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you met him that day.
Is. Yes, yeah. I know. And yes.
Because that was his brother. The one you put in an ankle lock.
Yeah.
And he was the one that filmed it.
Younger brother, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I did well on the campaign. I got more votes. It was a Democratic district, and I was running on everything how people should run. I actually had people come up to me and say, well, why don't you just run as a Democrat? And when you get elected, because it's a Democratic district, you know, when you get elected, just vote how you want to. And I was told that by a couple career politicians, you know, and they're friends, and you know, and I understand why they were telling me things like that, but I told them, I go, if I'm knocking at your door, I don't want to be lying to you, because I'm doing it for all the wrong reasons. You know, I'd rather go out there and, you know, ask people, you know, like Kurt, to do me a favor and try to get elected. And that was my first campaign video. It was a fun video, you know, and that's what it was put out to be, a fun video. And then it takes a little spoof on wrestling, you know, and it kind of warms people up. And then I did a bunch of serious videos after that too. So, but the thing is it got a lot of attention, you know, and a lot of good feedback, you know. So.
I don't know if you noticed your face when you were applying the ankle lock. I don't know who was in more pain, you giving it or the person receiving it. Did you see your face?
Yeah. He's probably like, can he spit his sentence out any quicker? Come on.
I know, right? Oh, so good. Oh, so much fun. Hey, listen, is there anything that we can plug or promote for you? Rhino, you talked about your school. Please talk about it some more and other things.
Well, it's a promotion, Insane Wrestling Revolution. We'd like to get Kurt in. I know he was just in Detroit not too long ago. Other than that, I really don't have anything else to plug other than Big Daddy's Boatyard. And, you know, I'm on Impact Wrestling. And
Girl loves that name, Big Daddy's Boatyard.
Yeah. You should see the t-shirts with the logo and everything.
If we send you a t-shirt, then we got to get t-shirt. There you go.
Okay, we'll make that deal. I'll have to get some new ones made up. So
I love it. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Right, Kurt?
Yeah, thank you, Rhino. It's always good to see you, my friend.
Well, thank you. Always great to see you. So, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we're going to do it again sometime. We promise Kurt won't ghost you. And then we'll get Kurt up there to Detroit.
We have a whole script left, Rhino. We have a lot more to do.
Yeah. So next time you're back at the safe house, we'll figure out a good time and we'll get together again. But hey, man, have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
All right.
Thank you. See ya. All right. Kurt Rhino. That was a blast, man.
Yeah. He's a funny guy, man. I love that guy.
Hey, we didn't get to all the TNA or the Impact times with you and Rhino, but we will. And we'll do that at some point. And as you know, Kurt said it multiple times on this show, you know, just like Ball of Wax, that his length of his career, most of his career was spent at TNA. Right, Kurt?
Yes, it was 11 years. Yeah.
11 long years. So listen, you can follow his career. Check it out. ImpactWrestling.com/packages and sign up with code Kurt today. And that would really help Kurt out. And we're trying to grow the Impact Wrestling audience. That is the archive that you want to see Kurt Angle when he was jumping off stages on top of people. man, I saw some of your interview with Chris Van Vliet, by the way. Look at you.
Yeah.
You weren't even wearing headphones for that interview. How'd that work?
No, I was going strapless.
You were strapless without a top on and having fun with the man, Chris Van Vliet. That was cool. Listen, if your business targets 25 to 54 year old men, there's no better place than to advertise than right here with the Kurt Angle Show. You've heard us do ads for some of the same companies over and over again. We do ads. Kurt shills us products all the time, and it's been a huge lift to his personal business. We can do the same for you. Check it out. Advertisewithangle.com right now. Find out more how you can advertise with us on the Kurt Angle Show. Also, check out ad-free shows. If you were a member, you would have heard this episode early already, ad-free. So go over, sign up. The first week is free for you to check out. So sign up now, adfreeshows.com. Also, you can find us on socials. Really, we want you to go to YouTube and make sure you like, subscribe, and turn on the notifications at youtube.com/TheAnglePod. We're striving for 100,000, okay? I know we're right there around that 62, 63,000, but we're coming for you, 100,000, and we need your help, Angle family.
That's yes, right. We do. A That's lot right, of help,
the
please. Listeners.
That's right. youtube.com/TheAnglePod. Kurt, it's time for you to do your version of the spinneroonie and grab those chickens, or what are we calling them now? They're not chicken snacks anymore.
Smart snacks.
Smart snacks. I'm going to write it in my notes.
Crispy protein bites. There's actually, we have organic plant flavor or organic plant protein and chicken protein. We also have whey protein. There are four different flavors for the whey protein, 11 different flavors for the chicken and plant protein. But they're absolutely incredible. You're going to love these. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. Use the code ANGLEPOD, get 20% off your order. Or if you go online on the website, physicallyfit.com, and you type in and you become a member for life, you get 20% off for life. So it's a good deal. But try them. You're going to absolutely love them, I promise.
And the best thing to chase those smart snacks down the hatch with is nothing like a cookies and cream protein shake. That's from right. Project One Nutrition.
Cookies and cream protein. That's right. ProjectOneNutrition.com. It's the best tasting protein out there. I guarantee it. I love cookies and milk. This is cookies and cream. It's right up my alley. You're going to absolutely love it.
Cookies and cream, baby. Who doesn't love a little cookies and cream? You know what I'm saying? And then finally, KurtAngleBrand.com. You go to the website, you're going to see his beautiful face there. But not only do you get to see those beautiful blue eyes, you also get to shop products for him. Whether you like t-shirts, cameo videos, cards for birthdays, Christmases, bar mitzvahs, the milk cartons, the cowboy hats. Kurt, what can they get there?
The whole ball of wax. It's right there.
KurtAngleBrand.com. Kurt, I had a blast with you this week, man, and Rhino.
Me too, man. I love Rhino. He's a great guy.
All right, man. Well, hey, listen, we're going to do it again next week. We're going to be, we may have another guest coming up here soon. You're going guest crazy on us, aren't you?
We are going guest crazy, definitely. I think we have like two more guests the next 2 weeks, I think.
Wow. Lots of guests.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, anything can change, as always, here on the Kurt Angle Show. But listen, one thing that won't, the two of us will be here pushing out great content every single week. With that, on behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right back here next week on The Kurt Angle Show.